He was a loner, was the thing. When it had become clear that they wouldn't be able to return to Earth, it had been perfectly natural for people to pair off, settle down. Elizabeth had made a series of graceful announcements about forging personal connections and shared living quarters, but had herself stuck it out alone, as though she hadn't given up hope. Maybe it was difficult for her, but it had never been difficult for John, who liked being alone. He went over to eat dinner at Zelenka's and Prem's once a month or so, but he didn't mind eating alone in the mess, sleeping alone in the narrow bed he'd never bothered to replace. He had never minded being alone, just one less person to disappoint, one less thing to fuck up, not like Rodney. "I just want you to know you're being ridiculous, and I see through it," John said, stopping by Rodney's quarters after dinner. "What's your beef with this, anyhow?" Rodney said. He was sitting on a blanket on the floor with the baby against his chest, flipping madly through lab reports. She was chewing on his jacket, but Rodney didn't seem to notice, holding her absently with one hand against her back. "Look, I'm probably going to get a girlfriend out of this," Rodney said. He draped the baby against a pillow and stood, rifling through the stack of papers on his desk. "I'm lonely as fuck, in case you hadn't noticed." "Yeah, but... so, you know, if the ladies of Atlantis need a little nudge to remind them that Rodney McKay is grade A boyfriend material, I'm willing to play along." "You're going to end up with a woman who wants to get married and have children," John said. Rodney shrugged. "That'd be okay," he said. "Who knows what could happen?" But John could already tell what was going to happen. Rodney would get attached, and he'd miss the kid when it was gone, just enough to get used to the idea of having a family. It was a lot easier for women to love you when you wanted kids, John had found. It made you look like someone who believed in long-term future plans, or at least like a slightly less selfish asshole. Like someone who might do the dishes or have sex with you when he was fucking beat and would rather just go to sleep. Liking kids meant you believed in something. And Rodney was going to meet some woman and fall in love and mate for life and look fat and happy at the party for their 50th wedding anniversary. And John wouldn't even be able to dislike her because she'd be smart and love Rodney and fuck him, even if she was beat and would really rather just go to sleep. So John stepped in close and kissed Rodney's surprised mouth. Rodney didn't stop him, so it went on for kind of a long time, until the baby broke into an angry sniffling wail, and Rodney pulled his hands out from underneath John's shirt and scooped her up into his arms. He jiggled her against his chest, making funny faces at her until she subsided into anxious snuffles and pressed her face into his shoulder. John put his hands in his pockets and leaned back against the wall. "So the baby thing does work on you," Rodney said. "No," John said, stung. "Okay," Rodney said. He was stroking his hand down over the back of her skull, his thumb running along the small, unformed edge of her cheek. "The timing is suspicious," he said quietly. "So what?" "So, if it's just because of the baby, I'd really rather not, 2 minutes ago, you were all about scamming women with that thing." "Excuse me, it's not scamming if you're informing a few gorgeous women that there's more to you than a brilliant, very, very occasionally irritable, but with good reason, outer shell, which they might not have noticed prior to. So it's fine for women to like you because of the baby." "Right," Rodney said. "But how long has this been going on?" Rodney said. "I've... since M3X434, John said. "Oh," Rodney said. He wasn't looking at John. "Well, I think you'll probably get over it pretty quickly." "Yeah," John heard himself say. Probably. Turns out the mother kind of wants her kid back, Rodney said. You'll be fine by the end of the week. I told you, it's not that fucking baby, John said. Hi, hello, P3X434, Rodney said without any warning the next time John was down in the lab, doing something or other for Zelenka. With the poisonous berries and the angry teenage mutants? They weren't poisonous, John said. Are you sure you don't mean 343? Rodney said. I didn't mean 343. It had the plants. I know which one M3X343 is, John said. But 434 was 2 years ago, Rodney said. Yes, it was. When you got punched in the head? Rodney said uncertainly. Right, yes. But never mind, John said. He tried the next permutation of crystals that seemed to make sense, and two lit up happily. The rest did nothing. Rodney slammed himself down in a chair at the next workstation and began to fidget with the computer keyboard. I have email, you know, he said. I check it 128 times a day, minimum. You could have just... I wasn't going to email you. Dear Rodney, I have a big heart on for you. Love, John, Rodney gabbled out so quickly that the words ran together. Rodney, so you were just never going to say anything? Rodney said. Don't you think that's best? John said. He let himself dwell on what a bad idea telling Rodney might be. About the best case awkwardness and the worst case ugly freakout. He hadn't thought it would be this depressing. Rodney's face locked down, arms wrapped around his chest. But you did. Well, you were going to meet women and get fat, and I... Wait, what? I'm fat now? Rodney said. Now I'm fat? Not now, John said, heart stuck in his throat. Later, you'll get fat. This conversation made more sense when you just like babies, Rodney said after a minute. I don't like babies. What if I like babies? Then we'll get a fucking baby, John snapped back. Maybe just the sex first, Rodney said faintly. Yeah, okay, John said. Be cool, John thought. Shepherd cool, ice cold. 300 push-ups before breakfast cool. Killing Fields can't handle the truth. Not the guy who'd started his own Rodney McKay fan club over 16 months ago. Cool. He'd killed a man in Reno just to watch him. So are you going to take your clothes off or... Rodney said, already stripped to the waist, his boots and socks in a jumble by the door. John said. Yeah, sure. He had to sit down on the bed to get his boots undone, fingers stumbling against the knots. His stomach was tight and nervous, and it only got worse when Rodney knelt down to help him. And John kissed him, his tongue in Rodney's mouth, Rodney's hands on his knees, and then sliding up to cradle his hips. I'm in love with you, John blurted out, the minute Rodney pulled back and rubbed his fingers up John's chest underneath his shirt. Rodney's hand stilled. Oh, he said. John yanked in a single, humiliated breath and tried not to meet Rodney's eyes. You want to fuck me? He said. Yeah, sure, Rodney said, sounding relieved. They'd gone back to Rodney's quarters because John had said they were closer. Although, really, he'd wanted to be able to leave if Rodney got clingy or weird after, or wanted him to stay. Rodney had some lotion stuff in a jam jar. The label was gone, but when Rodney fished it out from under the bed, John recognized the red checks on the battered lid. Where'd you get that? He said. Made it. It's perfectly safe, Rodney said absently, palming John's cock through his underwear. his voice quiet and low. John slid down impatiently on the bed, opened his legs, and then realized he was still wearing his socks, big stupid white ones that were losing their elastic and falling down his calves. Rodney, completely naked, his cock bouncing a little in a way that should have been funny, but just made John's chest tight with anticipation, didn't seem to notice. Rodney did him face down on the bed, nothing fancy. "You're really tight," Rodney said near the beginning. "Are you sure?" "Yeah," John said. He bit his lip and shoved back. "Fuck," Rodney said, breathlessly, his hand on John's hip tightening. John pressed his hot face against the pillow and let it happen, nice and easy. "Jesus, you feel..." Rodney said, and "I, John, fuck." And then he got quiet, breathing hard. The bed rattled. John's knee slipped wider against the blanket. Rodney groped him a little, hands sliding down sides, on his waist and ass and dick, fucking him still. John groaned, made too much noise, stuffed his hand in his mouth, tried to grind back on Rodney's cock. But Rodney pushed him back down with one hand and went at him, greedy, almost rough. He finished quickly, leaving John humping back against his softening dick in dismay. "Sorry, sorry," Rodney said, pulling at John's shoulder until he turned over. He grinned sheepishly, face flushed, eyes still heavy-lidded. "Real nice, McKay," John managed. "I can be nice," Rodney said, and kissed him. Rodney's mouth against a hot spot just below his jaw, wet hand on his cock, and John came inside 60 seconds. "I'm taking off," John said after, when he'd found his pants, crumpled up half underneath the bed. "Okay," Rodney said. John said, and tugged his shirt down over his head. "See you around." "Will do," Rodney said. "Way to go, jackass," John thought when he was safe in his quarters. "Way to bring the motherfucking heat." He showered and crawled into bed, but he didn't sleep. He waited. For weeks, he waited for Rodney to want to do it again. But Rodney said nothing. Or, of course, said, "The time frame for these repairs is completely unrealistic, even given the almost frightening competence displayed by myself in these difficult times. And did you tell Ronan to asphyxiate me as part of physical training? Because if not, I've now learned more about hilarious, sedate, life-threatening practical jokes than I ever wanted to. And I never thought I'd have occasion to say this, but there are too many naked breasts in this room." This last, in a museum on PX4 345, where they were being shown the Ataxians' greatest cultural treasures, which included plenty of many-breasted statues and no ZPNs. John grinned at him, and Rodney raised his eyebrows and cut his eyes sideways at Ronan, who was staring at the statues, ears bright red. Sadea, it turned out, had confusing and conservative taboos about sex and nudity, which they'd learned the first time Lorne had stripped off his shirt in the locker room, and Ronan had banged his head on a locker, eyes a little wide. "I beg your pardon," the guide said to Rodney. "The workmanship is extremely impressive," Rodney said, smiling blandly. "Perhaps you could tell us more about the materials used in the sculptures." It was at times like this that John thought it wasn't outside the realm of possibility, that Rodney was just playing it cool. It wasn't what he'd come to expect from Rodney, whose usual mode of social interaction seemed to be to make sure to say the worst possible thing at the most inconvenient moment. But then again, there was obviously a niche for a guy who could play it cool in whatever had happened between them, because John, who had a security feed photograph of Rodney tucked in one of his desk drawers, who had worn socks the first time they'd had sex, wasn't that guy. He'd thought Rodney would be horny and desperate and grateful. He'd assumed, well, he'd thought at the very least that Rodney would talk about it more. Talk and talk and talk. Corner him. Make him wish nothing had ever happened. But Rodney was improbably silent about the whole thing. He found he didn't enjoy looking at Rodney as much anymore. His hands or his eyes, or the one t-shirt he had left from Earth, which was thin, shot with pinholes on his left shoulder. It reminded him of the socks he'd felt too guilty to throw away, balled up in his bottom drawer, blameless. He fucked the first person who asked him after that, just a woman on some planet with a lot of pretty hair. Someone Rodney could never in a million years have gotten into bed. She seemed to think his name was Jonas. Close enough. He made sure Rodney didn't find out, just in case. The good thing that came out of it was that John was over his little infatuation. If he'd known a quick, embarrassing screw would have done the trick, he would have hit up Rodney months ago. He was logging 10 clicks a day, working his way around the long piers before the sun was fully up, learning rib-separating Sudan abdominal exercises, catching up on his backlogged paperwork. He put on 7 pounds of muscle, convinced Alenka to teach a basic puddle jumper repair course, and gave his dessert ration to Elizabeth, who had been looking a little thin lately. "I'm fine," she said, the second time John had slid his cookies onto her plate. "I know," John said. "Do I look not fine?" "You look fine," John said. "Is there a reason you're not giving these to Rodney?" she said. John shrugged. "Maybe I like you better." "Who likes who better?" Ronan said, sitting down next to John. "John considers me more worthy of cookies than Rodney," Elizabeth said. "Do you want my cookies?" Ronan said, very seriously. "That's not necessary," Elizabeth said, "but thank you." Ronan pushed across his cookies anyhow. "He's trying to fatten you up so he can eat you," John said. Elizabeth laughed. Ronan smiled uncertainly. "That's a joke, right?" he said after a minute. Elizabeth laughed some more, her mouth beautiful. Her mangled hand, still a mess of raw scar tissue. The knuckles of her 2 remaining fingers red and twisted. Brushed Ronan's brown fingers and he bent closer. "I need to go check on the thing," John said, starting to his feet and grabbing his tray. "Have a good night, John," Elizabeth said, a second or two too late. Ronan didn't look at him at all. Because John wasn't the kind of person who was dishonest with himself, he didn't tell himself that McKay was unattractive or weird-looking. It was just that it didn't bother him anymore, the way Rodney looked. He didn't think about it much. He was busy. He saw McKay most days, went on missions with him, ate and joked, and tried to talk him into reverse engineering a plasma rifle Ronan traded a stapler and 2 boxes of binder clips for on PX4352. "First of all," Rodney said, while Ronan flipped open the blanket on the lab bench to display the gun, "those were my binder clips, and I needed them. Second, for reasons that are too complicated to explain, you could not come up with a stupider waste of time than a plasma weapon, even if it worked, which it isn't going to, because plasma can't be contained by... Can you fix... quiet, thinking," Rodney said. And 2 weeks later, they had 3 plasma rifles that mostly gave people second-degree burns, but sometimes emitted a cloud of noxious, but ultimately harmless, gas. "I was hoping for something a little less... disappointing, I know," McKay said. "You look like shit. The skin beneath his eyes unnaturally pale and shiny, his jaw uneven with stubble. Well, good effort, John said, after an awkward silence. Oh, thanks, Rodney mumbled. Look, I need to, he said, jerking his chin back at the lab. If you want to keep testing them, that's fine. Fine, John said, and watched Rodney wander back into his corner of the lab and slump down over his desk, big round shoulders bowed with fatigue. Rodney was obviously one of those people who just didn't get too excited about sex. Beyond a lot of bitter complaining, he didn't put any effort into trying to get laid, ever. Sex didn't interest him as much as work. He shouldn't sit like that, Ronan said, coming up behind him by the long observation window. Bad for his back. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, John said. Winter came again, the third alone. Winter didn't mean the same thing when you gate to a tropical climate. But the Atlantis winters were bitter all the same. Most of the Athosians moved back to the city for the deep winter months, and the city seemed crowded. Teams went back out in force to negotiate for food, textiles, medical supplies, blankets, thread, tea, empty bottles and jars. They traded skilled labour, medicines, hybrid plants, pesticides, simple machines the engineers made in their spare time, cameras, telescopes, apple peelers. On P6X461, Elizabeth mediated 4 divorces, 1 will, and 1 dispute over land rights. On P3X525, Ronan and John tracked and killed a Melvin pack that had begun to prey on the sheep and goat herds in the village, and brought back enough wool to make sweaters for half the staff. They were having to range further afield to make the trades they needed this year. Too many worlds had had poor harvests, or were disinclined to trade with strangers. I'm beginning to sense a pattern here, Rodney muttered. The fourth time they were very politely escorted to the Stargate, and left with not very regretful smiles, and not much else to show for the whole afternoons of polite inquiries. You should learn to be more optimistic, Dr. McKay, Taylor said, but she looked tired too. They didn't shoot us, Ronan said. Yes, that part was terrific, Rodney said. Almost as good as the part where I wasted 14 hours of my very valuable time squatting in goat shit and complimenting their innovative architecture of their really lovely shanty town. But his heart wasn't in it. They needed medical supplies, edible protein, clothing. John woke from dreams where he found new rooms in Atlantis, filled with nutrition bars, with syringes, with ammunition, with shoes. P4X619, he said, digging the list out of his pocket and passing it to Rodney, who sighed and hunched over the DHD. Then we'll call it a day. P4X619 was a prosperous world, peopled with stolid, friendly citizens who insisted on feeding them lunch before offering to exchange canned and cured vegetables, soap, paper, ink, pens, scissors, sturdy cloth, and seeds, in exchange for live yeast cultures and 2 crates of the aspirin Haskell and Shapiro had synthesized from the poplar trees they'd found on P2X351. This is very generous, John said cautiously. My head no longer aches, their head man said. Your coming is truly a miracle for which we must all give thanks. The other negotiators nodded more emphatically than politeness required. Truly, truly, thanks, their lead negotiator said, a cheerful man who had insisted they call him Uzbem, as though it were an honour. Thanks for all. It is approaching late afternoon, however, and I'm sorry to say our Skolan chamber is a bit of a hike. A hike, John said slowly. Yes, yes, I'm afraid it was a mistake to put it on such a hill, but the gods... Usman broke off and rolled his shoulders elaborately. Truly, they do not choose to convenience us with their actions. We are not familiar with the skull arm chamber, Taylor said. Can you perhaps... A formality only, Usman said, gesturing vaguely across the sun-drenched square, to bring our partnership favour. Ah, Taylor said, of course. You must climb the hills to the... Do you see the building on the hill? Squinting, John could just make out a distant boxy shape on the lush green slopes that surrounded the village. Yes. As you enter the house, there are blessings on the threshold, and then you have sex, at least once. Although it is traditional to celebrate for the entire night, naturally. But we are not all so young as we once were, I suppose. And then, come back down and we will complete the trade. I'm sorry, pardon me, Rodney said, leaning across the table, waving his hands around politely. I thought you said we were supposed to have sex. Yes, of course. Sex? Rodney said. We're supposed to have... No. Usbem said, laughing loudly. No. Ah, Rodney said, and exchanged a relieved glance with Taylor. Yes, you see, you have misunderstood. You are most certainly not required. Usbem paused to chuckle. Only two of you, he said. Any two, of course. Any two at all. You are free to choose. Oh, great, Rodney muttered. Usbem, Taylor said brightly, taking his arm and steering him away from the table. May I speak privately on this matter? Well, okay, great, Rodney said. You know what this day was missing? Date rape and complete loss of personal dignity. So, what's date rape? Ronan said, crossing his arms and scowling. And hiking, Rodney continued, as though Ronan hadn't said anything. You can't forget about my great love of hiking. Since when do you get to decide who anyone fucks? Ronan said. Rodney opened his mouth and then closed it. Since never, I guess, he said. Yeah, that's what I thought. So you and Shepard can do it then, Rodney said. Be my fucking guest. Fine, Ronan said. Cut it out, both of you, John said. Rodney shut up and began searching through the pockets of his tack vest, opening and closing Velcro flaps mechanically. John turned to Ronan. You've never had sex with someone you weren't in love with. No, Ronan said, a little abashed. McKay has, John said. Rodney's face was unreadable. He didn't flinch. And I have. So we'll take care of it. But no big deal, John said. Right? Nope, Rodney said. Taylor will probably talk him out of it anyway, John said, just as Taylor smiled and bowed to Usbem and walked back over to them. I'm sorry, she said. It is required. How will they even know what we did? Rodney said. We'll just go up there and... They say their god will know, Taylor said. It is said that this region of the galaxy is peopled with truth readers. Mind readers? Rodney said. You believe in mind readers. Truth readers are real, Ronan said, and Rodney's head jerked back as though he'd been personally insulted. It would be unwise, Taylor said, cutting him off, to risk not doing as they require. We may also leave if you do not. We need this deal, John said. Their terms are good. Is this their religion? Rodney demanded. The freaky, non-consensual one-night stand religion? Do you not eat your earth gods once every 7 days? Taylor said in her most maddeningly reasonable voice. What? Ronan said, sounding startled. Symbolically, Taylor said, one eyebrow twitching north. "Well, not all of them," John said a little weakly. Taylor nodded, looked first at Rodney, then at John, her expression polite and bland. "I would like to offer..." "Absolutely not," John said. "No." "Rodney," she said. "That's okay," Rodney said. "The profound bias against women in your culture is quite distasteful," she said, but she didn't push it any further. The hike was long, but not steep, up a slow, winding dirt track, through fields of yellow and red flowers. "I take it every sexual encounter on Sedaya is a consummation of glorious love, then," Rodney said, halfway up. "Something like that," John said.
"Good for them," Rodney muttered. "That's great."
He didn't say anything else. It would have been a pleasant hike if John hadn't been on his feet for 12 hours already. If Rodney hadn't been frowning next to him, his face set. Uzbam had been genially vague about what exactly they were supposed to do, and John figured a blowjob would probably do the trick. He'd offer, when they got inside, be nice about it, cool. It didn't have to be a big deal. Or Rodney could fuck him again. That'd be okay. They could maybe even have some fun, fool around if Rodney wanted.